example, when you start to mix some of the black into the white, is that really the direction you want to be going as a leader, as children of mothers? Do you really want to brag about the fact that, you know, well, this is kind of a gray area? Guess what, folks? If it's gray area, that means you're black. It's something that we're not supposed to be a part of. Darkness avoids exposure by the light. John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. We are the best advertisers for God that this world has offered. That's what God has called us to do. And we are supposed to draw other people to the light. Now, understand, I know as well as anybody, there are going to be some people that are resistant to the light. They don't want to change. They enjoy the darkness, and they're willing to live there. Who are those people? I don't know. So that means my responsibility is to shed light wherever I go. My responsibility is to be the light to the world. My responsibility is not how they respond to the light. My responsibility is to be an accurate representation of the light. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Doesn't that sound like the world in which we live in today? It says, "Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." If you are a child of God, and God is light, there should be light evident in your life. The Bible tells us that you will produce fruit. You can't help it. One of the pictures I've taken is of a soybean field. And I know in that particular soybean field, it hasn't always been a soybean field. At least I presume so. Because every so often in that soybean field, there's a corn stalk. And it stands out. That corn stalk cannot hide, cannot blend in, and cannot produce soybeans. Because it's corn stalk. If you're children of the light, you will never be able to blend into darkness. Because no matter how little your light may be, you know, we sing this little light of mine. Great song about that. This little light of mine, it will always shine out in the darkness. You can't help it. Children of the light walk. Produce fruit of the light. What is that fruit? Well, it talks about good, being good. That means moral excellence. I hear a lot of people talk about good, and they never define what good means. What is the standard of good? Well, I'll tell you what, I can tell you the standard most people use. Well, let's see. That's my standard of good. So yeah, I measure up pretty well. Okay? Until I stand next to my son-in-law and he's up here and say, well, I guess I don't measure up quite so much. And then some of you, you've learned this, you've heard this for the last 18 months. You stood next to my wife and said, oh, well, she's kind of short. And she will tell you, okay? Amen. So how do we measure the standard of good? The standard of good is measured by God. That's our measurement. You see, I can go around, it's very easy for me, I can go around and find other people worse than me, however you want to define worse than me. It's easy to do that, and then I can start feeling really good about myself. Hey, you know, I'm not so bad after all. But I'll tell you the other truth, too, is that I can go around and I can find a lot of other people that are better than me. And boy, I don't feel quite so good. I'm not going to look at those people. I'm going to lot of people say, okay, well, I'm a good person because I look at these people, I'm better than them. But when we measure ourselves against God, none of us measures up. And so it's only by the power of God that we can do that which is good, which is moral excellence and a generous spirit. Doing that which is right. Giving all their due. Giving you credit where credit is due. Doing that which is right. And then true. Again, we run into a problem there because we live in a culture that says, well, there is no such thing as absolute truth. What may be true for you is not true for me. So therefore, whatever anybody wants to be true must be true. And how do you ever figure out what honesty is? That which is genuine. So now that you are children of light, you are to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we do that? Well, you find out by testing. You test by Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed. That's a change from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we discern what is the will of God? Hey, there's a great place to start. Guess why it is that people spend their lives translating the Word of God into the heart language of the people? Because it's important for them to know God. And the Bible is the number one source of knowing God. And that's why they work so diligently to make sure that it not only translates into the language of the people, but that it rightly represents the truth of God's Word. How frustrating would it be to spend your life... I know, isn't it? That is frustrating. How frustrating would it be to spend your life translating the Word of God, but doing it so poorly that people might think they were saved and they really weren't? That it wouldn't accurately represent God. That would be a total frustration. And so these folks have committed their lives not only to translating the Word, but translating it accurately, and translating it accurately so that it can be accurately understood, so that people can know about God and come to the light and know salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that's not just their work, that's our work, isn't it? That we would discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Because ultimately, that's our goal, our purpose as a disciple of Christ is to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. And if we're going to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord, that means we avoid that which is displeasing to God. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We have a word for that. It's called hypocrite. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, which means we become children of light, and if we are children of light, then we walk as children of light. It's got to be that if we are children of light, we're going to bear fruit like children of light. We also expose that which is displeasing to God. I don't know if I've confessed this to you corporately before, but my background is Baptist. And I know that in some places that can really be a hesitation. There's only one time I've ever been embarrassed about being identified as Baptist, and that's when those crazy people from Westboro Baptist Church show up on the scene and misrepresent God and Baptist and everything they claim to stand for. That's not what we're talking about, exposing that which is displeasing. You see, it's not my role to convict people of sin. And not yours either. Did you know that? It's not your role to go out and convict people of sin. That's not your responsibility. So if that's been your mindset, that that's your role, well, I got to go convict the world of sin. Now, I'll take that burden off of you. Just Lay it aside. That's not your role responsibility. Not in your job description. Your job description is to be a witness for the Lord. Your job description is to walk as children of light. But you don't have to convict anybody of sin. That's the job of God the Holy Spirit. Don't try and take His job. You can't do it. So what does it mean to expose that which is displeasing? Well, I'll tell you two things here. Number one is that when light enters dark, there's a conflict going on. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying this about everybody that sits in the back row. I know some people that love sitting in the back row, so don't misunderstand what I am saying. I'm not saying there's anything more or less spiritual about people that enjoy the back row. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that I have seen people in their Christian walk that they'll be coming to church, and all of a sudden, they, at some point in their life, embrace a sin practice in their life. And what I've seen as a pastor is they may be sitting right up here near the front on a regular basis, and then they begin to embrace this sin practice, and they don't want to let it go. And they begin to get convicted by the Holy Spirit of God because they've embraced this darkness and they're supposed to be children of light. And there's only two things that can happen. They can say, oh, well, no, that's sin. I got to get rid of it. Or they can say, no, I like this. I'm going to get rid of the light. And, oh, that church becomes judgmental, and they'll start moving further back until finally they say, well, the church is judgmental. The church is unfriendly. And the church hasn't changed at all. It's just that their relationship with the Lord has come into conflict because they've been embracing the darkness, and they cannot, if you are a child of the light, you cannot embrace darkness without consequences. God says so. And so eventually they'll back out of the church and they'll leave the church unless they repent of their sin. And there have been times that nobody else knows why. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You can't apply that wholesale. That's certain individuals I've seen that happen with, but that's not everybody. Okay? But I love this. My wife's father was a pastor, and he told the story when he was in Yuma, Arizona, pastoring there, that he preached one Sunday, and at the end of the service, there was one of the men of the church, one of the prominent men of the church, came up and wanted to fight him. Literally fighting. Fists ready. The other leadership of the church had to hold him back. He says, what's going on? He says, you just exposed all the sins, all of my secret sins to the whole congregation. You just told them what I was doing. He didn't know anything about it. That was the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The other aspect that we are to expose, though, is that those things which promote themselves as Christian when they are considered secret theologies. Oh, well, you don't really know what the Bible has said about God until just now. We know the secrets, and for $49.95, we'll tell you the secrets of God so you can understand the Bible for the first time since Jesus walked this earth. That's a lie. Save your money, okay? Because Jesus came, Jesus didn't come to set up a new mystery where you had to learn a whole new... He came to reveal the heart of the Father. He came to make everything clear. He sent the Holy Spirit to teach us. Yes, it's wonderful to have the teaching of radio, TV, books, Bibles, seminars, speakers, pastors, teachers. Yes, that's wonderful. God doesn't hold back those secrets from you for salvation anymore. They're all out. Walk as children of the light. God has called us to walk in that way. John 1, verses 4 and 5. In Him, Jesus Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If we identify ourselves as Christians, which I like to mispronounce and say Christians, As followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, that means we're trying to do Christ, and Christ was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. What are we supposed to do? But be light that shine in the darkness. Colossians 1:13. He, Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we've heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Have you become a child of the light? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Romans 6:23, I love the simple one-verse structure of this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages, that's what we earn, that's what we deserve, that's what we merit, that's what we've got coming to us. Wages, that's everything that we can accomplish on our own. And the wages of our sin, any sin, all sin, big sin, little sin, the wages of sin is death. That means separation from life. That means separation from the light of God's presence, which means that we are darkness. The wages of sin is darkness and death and separation from God. And we are helpless and we are hopeless of ourselves. There is no future for us at all. That's the bad news. The good news is a gift. What is a gift? A gift is dependent upon the giver, not the recipient. The gift is something that is given regardless of merit. The gift is that which God alone can give, because He's the only one that could afford it, so to speak. And the gift that God offers to us is eternal life. But here's the conundrum is, there's this great gulf fixed between the two. The wages of my sin is death, and there's no way that I can get myself over to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. I'm lost, and I'm helpless, and I'm hopeless. How can I get from here to there? Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because He died upon the cross, pain in full, the wages for our sin, so that we are able now to accept the gift of God, which is eternal life. And there's only two things you can do with a gift. You can either reject it, or you can accept it. But I got to give you a warning. If you accept the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, you'll become a child of light. And your life will change forever. Because it just has to emanate from who you really are. And when we change from the wages of sin is death to the gift of God is eternal life, it changes us forever, makes us acceptable to God, and makes us children of light. Where we produce fruit of light in a very dark world. Father God, we just thank You that You have offered to us this gift, a gift that we do not deserve, a gift that we do not merit, but it is Your gift to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank You, Father, that You were willing to send Your Son to die on the cross in our place, to pay in full the penalty for our sins. And Lord, we pray this day that as Christ died to pay the penalty for our darkness, that we in our love and our commitment to Him would continue to grow as children of light, to walk as children of light, and to be light in a dark world, that others might be drawn to You, that others too could come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that others too would be transferred from the kingdom of darkness.